And today is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. If you're abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. It's the Spirit of God and His glory in you that brought you to the notice of others. If they're on you because you broke the law or disturbed the peace, that's a different matter. But if it's because you're a Christian, don't give it a second thought. Be proud of the distinguished status reflected in that name. It's judgment time for Christians. We're first in line. If it starts with us, think what it's going to be like for those who refuse God's message. If God's people barely make it, what's in store for the bad? So if you find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing, and He'll keep on doing it. May God teach us from His word today.
Getting everything ready here. Why don't you stand up and stretch, because you've been sitting a long time. You can actually look across the platform and or across the sanctuary and wave at each other. It won't hurt you. All right. I'll get you to sit back down. I actually didn't think that we would do this again. I thought I would just pass into the night and go away, and you'd never see me, and I'd never see you except online. So this is kind of a treat. We hope next week there'll be some live music here, and then down the road that you'll be able to sing. My biggest disappointment is I never got a chance to hear this congregation actually sing. I'm sure that with all the talent that is here, that you do an amazing job. The body of Christ shines when it's being persecuted. It's a fact. When the church was under communism in the Eastern Bloc, they clung to Jesus and depended on His strength. And without a bullet ever being fired, and with just prayer and candles, they took down that wall that separated East from West. In China, a pastor was jailed for over 20 years. He was taken from his little house church of 8 or 9 people. And for 20 years, he had no contact to them. And then when he came out, he discovered that that little house church had grown into a network of house churches, 100,000 plus strong. Amazing. My son-in-law, Molson, tells me that every day in the Middle East, hundreds and thousands of people are giving their heart to Jesus Christ. And the cost for them is they lose their jobs. They sometimes lose their families because they're taken away because they're Christians now. Sometimes they lose their lives. Many of them are thrown in jail and forced to flee the country, as Molson's family did. What we see is when the church is persecuted and is weak and has nothing, they rely on the grace and the love of God, and God never fails. Now let's look at North America. The church in North America is sick and dying. It is losing members every single day. And it's losing members on one issue alone. George Barna, who did a research project on this, tells us that people are leaving the church because the church no longer loves. The church is more invested in hate. The church is more invested in power and control. The church is more invested in keeping what is theirs. Peter speaks to us today. He speaks to a persecuted church. We are suffering the adversity of prosperity in North America, and it is killing us because we no longer need God's help. We need to wake up before it's too late. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would edit every word that I say. That anything I say that you don't want these people to know, help them to forget it. Help it to make no impact. But Lord, everything that you need to say to your people, burn it into their hearts. Let them weep over it. Let them rejoice over your grace and know that you are able. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We see in verse 12, friends, when life gets difficult, don't jump to conclusion that God isn't on the job. 100 years has not passed. We know that the church is being persecuted. They've been scattered. They've been forced out of Jerusalem. They've been spread out through the Roman Empire. And everywhere they've gone, they've met persecution and opposition. And they, just like us, have asked the question, God, are you on the job? Have you taken a vacation? You know, we get a little bit of pain in our life, and we wonder where God is. You know, when COVID hit, we asked the question, God, can't you see the people dying? Can't you see our businesses being destroyed? Can't you? God, where are you? We asked the question. When our children get sick or our grandchildren, we ask, God, where are you? When our bank account runs dry, we ask, God, where are you? When our schools are shut down, we say, God, where are you? We very seldom take the position of verse 13. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of a Christ experience. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. We don't like that part of the Bible where it says that when everything is taken from you, when your health is taken from you, when your marriage is taken from you, when your life is crashing down all around you, that that's a good thing. And yet that's exactly what Peter says to us. He says to the early church that is scattered and weak and has no money, has no building, has no equipment, has nothing. He says, this is a good thing that is happening. Rejoice, because this is what happened to Jesus Christ. And when you are weak, God is strong. I mean, what an amazing thing when you think about it. Think about your own life. Think about the times when you had the greatest growth in your spiritual walk. Was it not when you were absolutely powerless to do anything about it? You were absolutely unable to control the situation. We were driving home in our car in the middle of winter from Windsor, Ontario to Saskatchewan. And we came into Winnipeg, and we had just told our parents that they were going to have a grandchild. And we had a car accident in Winnipeg. And my wife spotted. And I thought we would lose that child. I tell you, I grew like crazy because there's nothing I could do. I blame myself for driving maybe too fast in the conditions. None of it mattered. All that mattered is that God would spare this child. I tell you, at that moment, God was never closer. When is God close to you? When you can't do anything. When you are at the place where there is nothing that matters but what God is going to do because you have no ability to do it. That's the situation in two-thirds of the world today. In South America, Christians there are depending on God. The church in India is absolutely, totally dependent on God. There isn't enough medicine. There isn't enough hospital beds. People are dying by the hundreds of thousands. They can't even bury them. And so the church is growing. The love of Christ is flowing. We, on the other hand, want to argue about the style of worship, the way the preacher preaches. He uses too many personal illustrations, you say. He preaches from the wrong translation. Listen, folks, there isn't anything you haven't said that I haven't heard. So I know all that stuff. So the truth of the matter is, I still love you. And God still loves you. So go ahead and be mad at me. It's okay. Because until you get over yourself, until you get to the place where instead of being a complainer and asking where you are, God, and you are rejoicing that you are weak, and you are rejoicing that you can't do anything about this stuff, only then will God step in and bless you beyond your understanding. That, I promise you, is true. I've seen it over and over again in my life. I could go on and on, but I hope you get the point. Verse 14, if you're abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. It's the Spirit of God and His glory in you that brought you to the notice of others. Amazing. If you are losing your job because you won't cheat for the boss, then rejoice. That's a good reason to lose your job. If you are unliked at work because you won't go out and do drugs, or you won't go out and get drunk at the bar on Friday nights, rejoice. That's a good thing. If your friends at school are giving you a hard time because you put Christ first in your life, that's a good thing. Always a good thing. Because what it does is, yes, it hurts. Yes, it tears your heart apart. But at the same time, it gets you on your knees and say, God, I can't stand it. I'm not strong enough. Help me. And you know, whenever the church is weak, whenever the church is dependent on God, people see Jesus and not us. They see our weakness, they see our inability, and they wonder, how in the world could this happen? Can you imagine being around the Berlin Wall? All those soldiers, they had tanks out on the streets. They had semi-automatic guns and automatic rifles. They had everything they needed to kill off the crowd. And the crowd had a candle and a prayer. And not one bullet was fired. Not one person lost their life. You know, man cannot stand when God works. There's glory when we are weak. There is power because God's power is absolute and it is applied absolutely perfectly every single day. Time. Verse 15. If they're on you because you broke the law or disturbed the peace, that's a different matter. If you're caught stealing from your boss and you get fired, you deserve to be fired. If you get caught not doing the best that you can on a project and your boss pulls you into the office and reams you out for it, you deserve it. If you are cheating on your income tax and the IRS catches you and fines you, pay the fine, you deserve it. And when the government says close your doors and don't worship the way you traditionally do, and you open them anyways and you get fined and you get sent to court, you deserve it. That does not glorify God in any way, shape, or form. Not anything. But if it's because you're a Christian, don't give a second thought. Be proud of the distinguished status reflected in that name. My son-in-law's father was beheaded by the Muslims because he was a Christian who was a high-ranking military leader in the government. And when they overthrown the government, they killed as many people as they could. Their family fled to Canada. And now he's training pastors to go back to the Middle East. He's proud of the name of Christ. I'm amazed at all the suffering of Solzhenitsyn, one of my favorite authors, a man who spent years in the Gulag Archipelago. It's a place where the Russian communists sent people to make them suffer. In the dead of winter, when there was no warmth at all, and where he almost froze to death, God reached out and made that place heaven on earth because Christ was there. Amazing when you think about it. The name of Jesus is the only name that we can depend upon. We cannot depend upon our buildings or our technologies. We learned that this morning, didn't we? You know, nothing is dependable. But what is dependable is that God loves you. That his grace never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out. Trust that. Put your heart in that. Not in fixing the problems. We never fix anything. If anything, every time we try to do a fix, we make it worse. History has proven that over and over and over again. So stop and let God work. This verse is powerful. It's judgment time for Christians. We're first in line. It starts with us. Think what it's going to be like for those who refuse God's message. You and I are going to be first at the judgment seat. And I'm going to stand before God, and all the things that I am proud of, all of the things that I've done in my life, are going to vanish in the power of his glory and grace. And I'm going to look at it and say, it was selfish. It was about me. It was about me being noticed. And I'm going to hang my head in shame, and his grace is going to be enough. You know, I have nothing. Absolutely nothing. After 40 years in ministry, I have nothing to offer the King of Glory. I hope that he will see that I finally have begun to understand the truth. That when I am weak, he is strong. When I trust on his grace and on his name, that's all I need. I don't need to preach better sermons. I don't need to ride faster on my bike, because I'm always trying to do that. I don't need to compete with my friends for a bigger church. I simply need to trust that he is enough. And I need nothing more. Look at what it says. If good people barely make it, what's in store for the bad? Funeral homes are an interesting place. I have always spent time in funeral homes with families. And it's in the funeral home that you discover what people are trusting on to impress God. People tell me, you know, he spent so much time driving people to their cancer's appointments. God is going to be so blessed by him. You know, other people say, well, he gave philanthropically to all kinds of charities and started this organization, that organization, and God's going to love to have him in the kingdom. And she baked cakes and and delivered meals. And you know something? Absolutely none of that matters. Those who don't know Christ, who are trusting in their good works, are going to have them wiped out because none of them are good enough. Not one. And if they don't have the name of Jesus and rely on his grace only, I can't imagine what it's going to be like for them. That's why I need to rely on his grace, because I can't convince them. I can't convince my son. I can't convince my foster brother. I can't convince my natural brother that they need Jesus Christ. Only Christ can do that through me. Every technique, everything I've learned from the four spiritual laws to friendship evangelism to all the other things that I learned through the years, none of it works unless God fills it with his power. And no one comes to Christ unless Christ breaks through and convicts them of their sin. No one, no matter what you do or I do. So if you find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride. If your kids are rebelling because of Christ in your life, take it in stride. If your marriage is falling apart because of Christ in your life, take it in stride. What does it say next? Trust him. Oh, that's hard to do. He knows what he's doing, and he'll keep on doing it. You see, that's the part that the church says, yes, I believe that, but we don't practice it. When problems come along, instead of trusting God to fix it, we try to fix it. When we see people hurting, we try to fix the people who are hurting instead of trusting God. I love the story of a man who had retired from carpentry. He wasn't a wealthy man, but he went and helped his church in his retirement. He used his skills to build crates. And way back when, some of us who are older remember this, churches would put together packages for missionaries and put them in crates, and they'd go out on a boat and go over to the mission field. And so he would build the crates. Somebody would fill it with all the stuff that they had gathered for the missionaries. Somebody would seal it. A truck would come and take it and put it on a boat, and it would go to all over the world, Africa, China, everywhere. At the end of the day, he finished loading the crates on the truck and saw the truck drive away and reached into his pocket to grab his glasses, his brand new glasses. And they were gone. And immediately he understood what had happened. His glasses had fallen into one of the crates, and who knows where it was going. He was mad. You see, he couldn't afford a new pair of glasses, and the old glasses that he had at home were not very good. He could hardly read. And he let God have it. He said, God, you know I need those glasses. You know I served you all day. Why would you do this to me? A year later, a medical missionary was at home, spoke in the church, and talked about receiving this crate, talked about how much they appreciated. But he said the most important thing in the crate was a pair of glasses. And this man knew who the glasses were. The people in the church said, we didn't put any glasses in that crate. What are you talking about? He said, the rebels had come into the village where I was serving, and they took everything. They took my glasses, and I couldn't operate without my glasses. And then we received your crate. And in the crate were a pair of glasses that were absolutely my prescription. And I went on to do surgery after surgery, and hundreds of people were spared, and their lives were saved, and many came to Jesus Christ. That old carpenter hung his head and said, Lord, forgive me. I didn't trust you. I didn't believe that you needed my glasses. Thank you. You want to stand firm? You want to be the church that is known for love? Then stand firm on this. Trust that God is love. There is no buts. Number two, believe with all your heart that you're a sinner who stands in the need of God's grace, and believe his grace will never run out. It will never fail. It will never let go of you. And if you do that, God will bless you beyond what you could ever imagine. We're going to continue to worship. We're going to worship with a song that I absolutely love. If you'd like to stand, you can. If you want to stay.
There I find you in my
drawn to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be power and glory forever and ever. And all God's people said,